plate a potential nugget.
As we bring the conversation to a close, Raghu, a couple of questions. One is more personal. I'm on this journey of being a coach and a sounding board for leaders, and you've been doing this for decades. One of the questions I keep asking myself is, how do I continue my growth over time? When you look at your journey, Raghu, what's been the nature of evolution? Let's say if you look at the kinds of conversations you have with leaders today and compare them to maybe the kinds of conversations you had 2 decades back or 3 decades back, what are the kinds of dimensions in which you've grown over time?
See, if I look at my growth, I don't think, a large part of my growth has been through dialogues with leaders that we know in business, right? See, if I look back, I look at myself more as a action research person than a consultant or a coach or whatever, right? And there have been 3 areas which I have been working on in depth, right? One is, of course, systems engineering and how systems work. The second has been studying with Krishnamacharya and yoga in depth, now really understanding the Yoga Sutras, the psyche, right? And the third has been process work with Professor Pullen Garg, theater, all of these kinds of things. I've always been innovating between these three, right? And where can I innovate? I can only innovate in an organization, right? So I've had this tremendous good fortune of CEOs who have trusted me, okay? So there's Mr. Subbaiah. He and I have had a very nice relationship over time. And he invited me to work with Parry. It was a turnaround situation, right? So I did my study, whatever. And then they asked me to work with Parry Sugar, right? And there, I was also, my orientation towards working in organizations has been to look at operations first, value creation and things like that, and then see how other factors are coming in to aid it or stop it. Right? So I actually had to work with an organization which I stayed in a house that Clive had stayed in, on my way to Nellikuppam. Okay? So some of the mindsets there are that archaic. Right? And here you have to design an organization for response, because that's why it's going sick. There's some responsiveness issue there. So when I went in and I was working with the organization, I had to contend with how to create a sense of flow and accountability this way, horizontal, versus the high colonized idea of vertical control. Right? So I played with it, and that's when this idea of, a totally aligned organization came up. Yeah. Because by that time, from my initial work and all that, I had also got in touch with our productivity consulting group from the US had got in touch with me, right? There was a guy called Norman Bodek, who's generally called Grandfather Lean now, but he was one of the first people to study Japanese management, bring it to the world, phenomenal guy. So they were looking for Indian partners, and they are Muktananda followers. So he was looking for a person who was involved with yoga and all that. So whatever, this combination happened. So I was learning these Japanese methods, which are very powerful. And obviously, it went very well with my OR thing. And you go into an organization, you start working with this horizontal thing, and the management is vertical. So the culture, it does not fit flow. Right? So then I experimented with how do you get these mindsets to change, right? So like I told you, now I don't do behavioral lessons. I make exercises and games. So I made this game and made them play. And there are 2 teams. One's vertical. The other one is completely customer-faced, right? So how do you organize yourselves, whatever. The lessons are very, very clear. But I asked them to give themselves names, no? So one of these guys said, sir, we are an aligned organization. They are a boss face organization. Right? So that is when I developed this whole thing of what does it mean to create a totally aligned organization? Yeah, total alignment, which will go with TQM and TPM and all the rest of it. Right. And Mr. Subbaiah was willing to, discuss it with him. And the CEO was willing to look at all this and work with it. So once you do this, the organization then doesn't look vertical with all these things. It looks like a rocket or a bird. Yeah, because like I told you, the CEO is at the edge. He's saying this is where you go. So he's pointing the organization to the customer. And the value chain gets aligned behind it. Right? And then you have the financial things that are helping this process. You have the human processes helping to make sure that flow is happening. Right? This is an agile organization. This cannot be an agile organization. Right? And then I had to work with what became Parry Agro. Yeah, CWC was taken over. Again, colonial, no? So all these lovely tea fields with these huge colonial bungalows and all that. And when Parry took over, they're not that mindset. So we worked with it. And there the issue was, how do you redefine work so that it's not so, sahib-based and things like that. And there I developed this whole thing of saying, can we shift the focus of work from being oriented towards job? Towards being oriented towards my links with people. Yeah, that's what comes through the earlier picture also. But here it had to be very clearly defined. We had the issue of redefining work itself. So like that, I've been applying from this and that and developing answers to situations. And each of them would take a couple of years. But because the trust I had, like, for example, Mahabharata, this book is actually based on 10 years of working with TCS on a program called the Leader Prepares. We've done about 100 odd things where the Mahabharata is the core. Wow. So I bring in theater. I bring in lots of ideas from yoga quietly. Yeah, we do some yoga practice, but also peppered in the program and the Mahabharata insights. We actually make them do theater. We make them do a lot of these things over a 5-day, 6-day period. But the origin of that was in the Murugappa group, where I did a leadership training program, which was a 2-week thing at that time. 1 week was theater. The second was outward bound. Right? So these have been really the incubating spaces, no? While most of my initial work was actually supported by Mr. Subbaiah, there's a lot of space and trust, whatever, I was given by the Handas, Sushil Handa and Sunil Handa, where I worked with them for more than maybe 20, 25 years or more, I'm not sure. But it was like, an ongoing thing where I would look at the organization, there'd be a problem to be solved. How do you look at it? Bring all these elements together, things like that. So at one point of time, they had to really look at their cash flow and things. So we set up this goal of saying, what's 1 rupee going into the organization? When is it coming back? Right? So can you make that the one point around which the whole organization works? So from 240, 250 something, we said 120 and then 60 and so on. Right, so all of this, you set out the problem and then you discuss with the CEO saying, I'm going to try this. Okay, and then I'm bringing in something from systems theory, I'm bringing in something from theater, I'm bringing in something from yoga, right, and seeing how it works and working it through, right. And the other space that I got was in TCS, where Mr. Ramadurai and his team gave a lot of space to first study the organization. There's a whole model that I've developed called the Tensegrity Mandala, yeah, which is based on Tripura Rahasya. Okay, so going back to Dharampal, study something, take the principle, see how it can be applied. Right? So the Tripura Rahasya talks about how the entire universe is actually a tetrahedron. Right? With Chit Shakti, Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, and Kriya Shakti. Right? And how this whole thing happens. Now, at the same time, there's a very good friend of mine called Prasad Kaipa, who's also used tetrahedrons. So I worked with this and developed a whole model of how to look at the organization. And then we worked a couple of years with the top management team and things like that, and then developed this training program and all that. So without these kinds of spaces and the trust that was placed on me by these CEOs and their team, I wouldn't have developed anything. Yeah, so that's the action research part, but which happened in that space, with these CEOs willing to, you know, incubate these things.
Couple of things strike me here. One is the point Raghu makes about his identity as an action researcher and how he frames the three work streams that he engages in. That clarity of who we are, I find to be super helpful in clarifying in terms of what we say yes to and what we say no to. The other piece I really liked is the experimentative approach to forming solutions rather than walking around with a hammer looking for a nail to hit. Thank you for listening.